We're switching now lunch out to something different.
Are we ready? We're ready. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Tuesday, July 24th, 2018. It's 2 p.m. And we're in the council conference, BCC conference room for legal council update. Item one is codification project update.
Yes, it is. The code went to DLCD last week. So the requisite time is currently pending, or is ticking away. And so I think board designated Commissioner Hare to do the fine tooth comb review. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Were you going to look at it? What? No, there really isn't. I mean, much to do at this point. I did review about half of it. Not all of it, but I did review probably a good over 100, maybe 150.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I saw so far is really it's structure because we didn't change anything, but it's so readable, it's so referenceable, it's so easy to understand the progression of how it got from where it was to where it is today. The only concern that I had was about the sections that were left open intentionally to probably fill in strategically of things that we should fix or have and stuff. So
the reserved sections.
Okay, they
always do that, and I showed you
sections that are reserved for stuff.
She had information about that and why they're reserved. Yeah, the editor.
We can get that to you.
People are going to ask that question, obviously, when we publish it, so it needs to be referenceable of here's why you leave these sections intentionally open.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's cool.
Anything else on that?
Covers it from our
perspective. Coming together. Yeah, okay.
Sure is, it's nice.
Sounds good. Item number two. Clean Slate Forest Management Project proposals from BLM.
I did ask staff to bring this to the board last week. I think this is the third time probably we've been talking about it, but there is that deadline coming down, and my understanding is board wanted to talk about it one more time before deciding whether you wanted to weigh in on this and make a comment.
Slate Creek?
Mm-hmm.
I've started a draft. The points that I can go over real quick. I'm probably 3/4 of the way done. I think that we should use this as a template to responding to all natural resource forest-based managements after I leave. You talk about who you represent. So we represent all 86,352 citizens of Josephine County as elected officials to do so. I referenced the non-binding question that we have in 2000 in a November of 2012. Where 72% of the population said that its forest management is an appropriate revenue stream for county services. I reference the coordination plan we passed in 2012, which references the Federal Lands Policy Management Act, and how I'm going to get to the point of 701B within FLTMA says that ONC shall be trumped. They're operating this stuff under a natural resource plan that calls for multiple use. But they're doing it with 96% of it, 94% of it being on ONC land. Multiple use doesn't apply, and FLTMA says that. So that's what I reference in here. The overstocking component of the entire portfolio is probably very consistent. So when they're proposing to do management on 9,000 acres, but they're only utilizing 484 of those as harvestable land based, that's inappropriate. It needs to be, it's basically the opposite of what the conservation community would say. If you don't harvest it and you don't remove the fuel loads, Mother Nature will do it, and it will be painful to the ecology. And then road maintenance is critical for continued forest management, public access, and firefighting. And I think I had a couple more points, but it'll all be just real succinct, one pager. Bullet points, and you'll be able to take this stuff in the future and just dump it into the next one. But I think anytime we can get like a reference to the way that the citizens feel, like through a non-binding question, it's important to iterate that in the letter.
Okay.
If you ran a non-binding question on after 4 out of the last 5 years being covered with smoke, you'd probably get almost 100%.
What would that question be?
Do you want this to continue on?
I was thinking about it. Why don't we ask a simple question like that or something? I don't know. We asked is, because they weren't doing after action, so there's no harvest. So we asked that question, I think, 15. And we have the answer as being 89% said that, you know, it's appropriate to do salvage of dead and dying timber after catastrophic wildfire and reforesting. So we already know the answer to that. And I think Congressman Walden has used that on the House floor. I've seen the testimony where he references the non-binding question asked by Josephine County. And I don't know what it did, but we're asking it, you know. When we get criticized out there for not doing enough, I don't know what other county, what else is there that we could be doing? We're asking non-binding questions, we're, you know, we're advocating, we're suing. What are we doing? Maybe more so?
Well, yes.
We're exploring every opportunity.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a couple options that the county is still exploring. It
could play out.
Well, to do nothing is not what they want. They want us to do something.
So those would be ready by the end of the week? Yeah. It's due on the 31st.
Okay. Yeah, I think, or is it the 2nd?
31st.
Oh, it's 3rd. Okay, thank you. There you go.
So we got
it's the second day. Well, okay, right. So in terms of the logistics of all this, is it board's desire to just have Commissioner Hare put a final document together and go ahead and submit that on behalf of the board so we beat the deadline?
Well, I don't mind if the board reviews it on, like, Monday or Tuesday or something, and we...
Commissioner Morgan will be back then.
Yeah.
So we'd have...
We've got a legal meeting.
I think it would have to...
If it's due on the 31st, then, you know...
I'd feel comfortable with full board support.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't... There's nothing in here I don't think that we've already said yes to a policy on, so...
Okay.
I'm not coming up with anything.
Okay.
Is it submitted online?
I think there's an...
So, Tuesday at 2 o'clock is not too late?
We'll find out, because there's a general discussion at 9, too.
Okay.
Maybe that's the better opportunity, then.
Yeah.
We'll target that.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
Because if anything needs to be tweaked or whatever, we can do it.
We done with 2, then? Got direction, Molly?
Yes.
Item number 3, admin policy number F-5.
I should ask, is there anything anybody else wants to add?
Is there anything anybody else wants to add?
I didn't cover everything, which is totally possible. Rocky will cover it in ONC's comments that they're going to talk about
on Friday.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
If I didn't touch on it,
Rocky will.
You would have.
Okay. So. Moving along to item number 3.
Okay.
Admin policy number F-5, public records request.
Relaying a concern from a person who put in a public records request. The person is concerned about what would be characterized as, I guess, an inconsistent approach that the board's policy potentially inadvertently takes. Put it like this. So a public records request that is declined by an elected official can be appealed only to the circuit court. A public records request that is declined by a public official who is not elected is appealed to the district attorney.
Okay.
So we do have, pursuant to policy, public records requests being processed throughout different departments within this county. Mm-hmm. Let's say someone wants information about, and this is a hypothetical, this is not what led to this particular concern being relayed to the board. Let's say a person wants information about a particular parcel of property, they can go to any number of county departments to get it. So they go to the surveyor, and the surveyor turns them down, says, I will not give you the plat. Who knows why? It doesn't matter for this scenario. Well, that elected official's decision would be appealable only to circuit court. But let's say the person instead went to the planning department asking for the same document. That official's decision would be appealable to the district attorney. And so I said, I get where you're concerned, and I am not a policy person. And so this is the beginning of a discussion. I can certainly present you with some options. But
we just need to pick one.
Yeah, I mean, you just need to pick
one. It should be both. Because I'd love to have an opinion where they ask for the same plat from planning and one from the surveyor, and the DA says yes, and the district the court says no.
I know.
So who wins in that scenario?
Trump.
I don't know.
Well, the court would, obviously, because one's a judge and one's a DA, in my opinion. But somebody else would have to decide that.
Sorry?
We're talking about lower down on the chain.
Ooh.
At this level,
the
talking about the inconsistency before it gets to the DA, right?
No, I understand what the commissioner is saying. I mean,
I haven't seen
a scenario.
Oh, it plays out.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
If you ask for the same thing for 2 different programs, because they totally have.
Yes.
They both retain it.
Yes.
It'd be real interesting.
one says
yes, and the other one says no. I get this. That's not for public. We're not going to convey it. Or we only get a party. Whatever. There could be an inconsistent ruling.
That's the issue.
Because there's 2 bodies. So we need to refine
to
1 body.
That's why we're here, is because it is not consistent?
it's
being. It has the potential to
yes,
be.
Yes, there is a requester who is currently communicating to me that it is inconsistent. He's saying it's inconsistent.
So this is an order? Let's just.
It is. It's a policy.
It's just an order.
It,
so we
yes,
just need to refine the order to reference appealable to the DA.
Okay.
I think that would be the most timely. I mean.
I think so.
So just so change it from
one
so
the
that
other.
Everything goes to the DA.
Yes. Yes, and the county shall.
I mean,
you know
if,
why it doesn't go to the DA? Because the DA is an elected official within the body, so that's why there's maybe a distinction.
He's a state official.
I know, but he's still. You know what? He's,
sure.
He's not a state court. You know.
Right.
He subsidizes his salary and stuff like this. There's more of a degree of separation between a circuit court judge and the DA as far as. Well, wait a second. He just undermined. If it was a board and the board said no. We don't want to disclose that, and it's appealed to
circuit
the
court.
DA.
The DA, and he says,
next year I'm cutting half of his blah, blah, blah.
I understand.
I don't have anything to do with the circuit court, so let's just make sure that we're thinking about this.
Yes, so yes.
Okay. That's a good point.
What? Because it goes to the DA because that's the statute. So that's
yeah,
the
yes,
DA.
I think.
But why would it go different?
Because he's elected.
Is the only reason you would.
When you do it, yes.
Yes, when I do it.
Because you're the only other one.
Yes.
Plus, there's four departments that get to do it.
It's not just me.
That,
though.
Right. If the
exactly.
board were to say, well, all requests come through the board, we would go to the court as well.
Yes.
Right. Under our current policy. But do we really need to? I don't know.
That's a policy decision.
Is the reason we're doing this because the DA would be faster response in the court?
Generally, people do have to, well, you have to pay a filing fee to go to court. A lot of times people will retain counsel. There can be expense associated with that appeal process, whereas the DA, to my knowledge, requires no fee. Yes, there's no fee involved. You simply appeal. And so from a citizen's perspective.
What is the DA's perspective on this?
I brought to you first.
It'd be interesting if you said, no, I don't want any of these. It's ridiculous, outside the scope of my job. And if I do it, I want 20 grand or blah, blah, blah.
Well. Statute doesn't let him off the hook, though.
He's always got.
He does, yeah.
Practice from, in this county has always been to give him to the
but
DA.
But we choose to pick.
The
we're
going to
pick one.
Yes, yes. It's the board's. I represent it's the board's prerogative to pick one.
Who does the DA go to? So they go to the DA and want public records.
And if he turns them down?
Then it goes to court automatically? Is it automatic to go to the court?
If they appeal it further.
Yes,
he's
they can
an elected
appeal it.
Official?
Yes, they can appeal it, yes.
No, because that. Well, yeah, but I mean, the
for
reason it goes on up is because that's what the statute says.
Yes, it's laid out in statute, exactly.
Yeah.
So even refining it to the DA, we still have a...
Yeah.
There's still another...
If the DA...
Yes, there is another
clear.
Option for the citizen, for the requester.
It's real clear.
Yes.
That seems fine to me. DA
okay.
for stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Commissioner?
I think if it could end up in court, why aren't we sending it there to begin with, regardless of what time frame it is?
There wouldn't be an appeal past the DA for anything that wasn't the DA's request. The DA is court, right? I don't. Is it appealable to the court after the DA says no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes. So the board says no.
Board says no. You
DA
appeal to the
no.
DA,
DA,
and the DA
says
DA
no.
Says no. They can go. They're going to end up in court eventually.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I mean, that's where it could go.
If
what's the what is
yes.
what is the why are we saying?
Yeah, why?
Let's send all these to the DA instead of court. Is it because we don't want to tie up court? Is it because it's expensive to go to court? It's a roadblock for somebody to get public records if they have to go to court. What is it?
The citizen who's concerned, I think, is not interested in the expense associated with going to court to obtain these records. Now. There is an attorney's fee provision within the statute that if the county is overruled in a court proceeding, yes, so there's a mandatory attorney fee assignment against the county in that scenario.
But that's there anyway, correct? Whether it stops at
the
DA or not?
With the DA, though.
With the DA, there's
no
risk, okay? That's kind of the...
That's why we do it.
There's really no expense on behalf of the citizen, and the risk for the county is...
No, we don't know what... We don't know what Ryan's thoughts are on this at all.
I could collect them, but
yeah,
how much difference does that make? I mean, he's got
it's his job.
He's never chafed at doing any of these reviews to
okay.
me previously.
It's kind of like reviewing.
On the way in here, we were talking about public records request.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not an appeal, but
I'm okay with it going to the DA and then after, I mean, how many of these actually, we have a lot of, we have a couple of appeals, but they don't go to court. I don't know that we've done a whole lot of these, right?
Oh, let's talk about that in a different setting.
Yeah. Well, the poll thing might have qualified, but I think I'm still on the trajectory of going to the DA, so
yeah.
It's fine.
Okay. Understood. We'll draft up the appropriate.
Well, I only want one. He wants to know on the other side. I'm okay with that too, but I don't know that it's going
to. When do we have to do this now?
Well, there is a pending denial. That's what prompted this concern and my relaying it from the requester. So there is one that's actually.
So there is a pending denial. What you're saying, if we just go ahead and say, yeah, this is okay, leave it with the DA, it would go then to the DA, right? They appealed.
Yes, the person who I denied a portion of a public records request, and statutorily the person's option is then to appeal to the circuit court. The concern was raised, and so thus, so there is.
So are we injecting the DA in this process instead of the court?
Well, the court, the board, I guess the board has the option even regarding this one particular request that's pending. Of saying you will defer to the DA that if you want, and you don't have information on that particularly, but you could say, you know, Wally, just tell the guy to go to the DA and do whatever the DA says to do.
Well, we have the ability to appeal the DA's decision too. We don't like
yes,
what he says.
That's accurate. Yes.
And you said no, and the DA says yes. We yes. think we are on
yes.
solid grounds.
Yes.
And we go to court.
So there was a scenario about 6 months ago with one of the newspapers in which, this was public, and so in which, yes, a good chunk of the public records request pertaining to persons who communicated with the county about marijuana policy was denied by me, and of course brought that to the board, and the board, that was the board's position as well. And so you have, elected officials denying this request. Well, that newspaper wanted to go to the DA, and did, and the DA in fact ordered release of the names, but the names were not released, and so discussion between me and the newspaper ensued, and he thought about taking it to circuit court, didn't, and that's how that one played out.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did decline to recognize the DA's ruling there, and we were statutorily allowed to do that.
There's another way to look at this, is. You're the, we could designate you as the facilitator of all public records requests.
Hmm.
So in that situation, there doesn't provide for, even if it's facilitated by another program, it's under your authority. And so all public records requests, because they're granted or denied by you as an elected official, are appealable to circuit court.
Yeah, me or even the board, and you could designate processors as agents of the board.
Right.
A couple of different ways to get to that same place.
Ultimately, it's an extension of the elected official's decision. And then the policy is circuit court, because all decisions are made by the elected official.
You have that optional.
Would have to be a majority of the board, or could somebody comes to you and says, for public record, no? I'm going to refer you to Wally.
Depending on how you want to do it. I mean, he's delegated for his program right now, but we could say
I am a public records officer for the county.
So technically everything that comes out is an elected official's decision.
Well, there's four departments that can send their own out.
Right.
Under the policy.
Yeah, and in all practicality, it has to be that way. Because we have, planning, we got sheriff, we got assessor, we got public records requests coming in from all kinds of different directions. I processed, 88 last year? And personally, I processed like a lot of those. I wouldn't dare. It was a lot of them. Okay, it's like one or two a week, and so that's the practicality that we're dealt with. Granted, now the board did boost my staffing, and there's a person whose job description now involves focusing on public records requests, and so. But I think from the citizen's perspective, they don't want to go to planning to ask for something and then have to deal with us, and then go back to planning, and then. That one.
Well, I think they go to planning, and then you guys deal with it on the backside.
If it's a denial.
That's an internal element, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you want some time to take a look at the
I think
current.
So, but I'm leaning towards
records.
Funneling everything through one.
Well, it feels like we've done a lot of that already.
Channel.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're already going there, but.
Yeah, the current policy reflects
that. You then could
what does the citizen do with it after I deny the request is really what's up to you today.
Right.
Whatever you want to consider this, but.
Yeah, right now they go to the DA.
No, he does.
No, they go to court. But we want to inject the DA.
Planning does it or HR does it, then mm-hmm. it goes to the DA.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also if Wally specifically is making the decision as an elected official, it goes to the courts because he's an elected official. But if he makes the decision because the county has said the county is authorizing our decision through your office, then the county is making the decision, not Wally, and therefore it would go through the DA.
No,
so depending on how you process
board,
it,
that's if really, we're the county.
Yeah.
We're elected.
I think they can do it.
Yeah.
Well, an individual commissioner is elected official, but the office of the commissioners is the county, and therefore it goes to the DA. If the board decides, it's the agency of the county, and therefore by statute it goes to the DA. But if you want to have the position of legal counsel make the decision, then, you know, on his own as an elected official, then it goes to the courts. Hmm. And you could choose either way.
So you're saying, what is the actual public records officer's position, because that's what he's called under this.
It is, and there's pursuant to statute, you had to designate somebody as public records officer.
No, of course.
Now, you know,
an elected official can't abrogate. You either are or you aren't. It's like there's no time when Commissioner DeYoung, after being sworn in, is like, you know what? It's after 5 o'clock. I'm no longer an elected. That sort of deal. He can't step away from it. I don't see how that's really. Possible.
It is, and from the court's perspective too, I mean, ultimately the board is the custodian of all records in this county, whether they're in my department or the sheriff's office or wherever, and you know, you're elected.
So by that jurisdiction, you really can't get away from the elected official.
And so is this something, an option you want to provide requesters of public records? You have a variety of options, all of which are lawful, but it's a policy, it's a pure policy decision. Which direction do you want to go? Which direction do you want to send people who are denied?
What I've been thinking about is what if the manager's decisions are appealable to you? You know, if Julie's made a decision to say, no, I'm not releasing this, well, before the citizen a right to go before an elected official, and when our designated public records request elected official says no and backs up that manager, we're ready to go to court on this one. I don't have any problem maybe that. Then we don't need to go to the DA for anything. Because then they're all decisions
the board
that
can do
official
that.
Somebody who's been.
The board wants, you can funnel it that way, that's an option too.
I don't know.
But it's from the citizen's perspective, that's what do you want to do?
And that's quick, and it's consistent with our county policy because you're doing a lot of them anyway. Whereas, you know, I don't want to say anything against Malkins, but it's already, you know, not his. His rulings are not always consistent with what county policy would be as far as
we saw
don't
that.
Release
sure.
names and stuff of people who are, it's not relevant. You're looking for something else, and that's not what we're going to release. So we'll go to court on that. That's something to think about. I don't think we need to make a decision today, but we need to do it soon.
Right.
We'll have some questions for you, I'm sure.
It's a kind of philosophical.
It is.
Okay.
We'll bring it back in a future meeting.
Social media archiving?
Yeah, and I put this on hoping Mr. McCafferty could be here, and I will impart to you everything I know about this situation, which won't take long.
This is we've already been down part of this.
Yes.
We had questions.
Yes. So, Sheriff's latest kind of chapter is Sheriff's Office rightly wants to contract with a social media archiving company, and Mr. McCafferty has already done some research in this direction and has found a vendor that he deems to be worthy, and it's his recommendation and mine. I mean, I'm not necessarily a spokesman here, but I think it's safe to declare. It's our recommendation that the county employ something countywide in terms of a social media archiving. Number of different reasons for that, and there's a cost associated with it that I'll not attempt to impart until John McCafferty gets back to relay that to you. But anyway, this is an issue that's kind of up and coming.
Let's talk about it with John and Commissioner Morgan in the room, because initially I think after initially I was in favor. Makes sense, it's logical. But given where we've been in social media since when I took office and where we are today, and the fiscal impact that we could have in the future, you could see that being as big as PERS. I mean, it could be huge if everybody eventually has some sort of online media, social media presence as a staffer employed for the county. And we're supposed to archive all elements for public record in perpetuity. I just want to look at the future, but once you start down that path, you're there, because you've acquiesced. You've said, this is what we're going to do. And I don't think you could do it. I'm saying, well, we're going to do it to where it costs the county $35,000 a year, and we're not going to do it after that, because we just can't afford it. Well, no, it's kind of like a union negotiation. Being able to afford it isn't a consideration of whether or not public has the right to review public records. So we got to be cautious with this first step out of the gate, because I feel like after that, you're committed to how you're going to do it.
Let's get John in here. I think it'd be vexing to do that for a week from today, maybe.
We'll confer with him.
Some people are doing it. Some people are choosing not to, or waiting until. I don't know.
I don't think anybody. Let's just say sheriff's office wants to get us started down this path.
Well, they don't write the checks for the liability or one way or the other. So.
They don't. I think they would be willing. They were going to write the check for this particular program, but then it came into IT. And
they don't write checks. We
came
do.
To my attention. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else got anything on that?
Well, I had a choice between some guy who was able to go out and respond to calls as opposed to retaining social media stuff. It's outside of their wheelhouse to write the checks for that.
I can bring in the sheriff.
That's an internal service fund element, because once the sheriff
starts. The sheriff in the room?
Sounds like a good idea. He's got particular reasons for wanting to do it.
Yeah.
I think so. Let's have Sheriff and John here at the same time, correct?
Yes, yeah. I think he considers it an enhancement to his program.
Got it.
Okay, so we'll get that lined up.
Write that down. And item number 5, additional matter subjects or matters from commissioners.
What is our time frame on the non-binding question? I thought we were coming up on that pretty quick, right?
We're going to have something next week, I believe.
But
we're not ready. We don't have anybody. I don't think anyone's started on explanatory statements.
I can, if the board was generally okay with what was presented last week.
I think so.
Let's
clarify that at Tuesday's meeting.
Can
we do that?
In our meeting next Tuesday?
On Tuesday, because Lily will be back and she can have some input on it.
I'm not real excited about the state of Jefferson question. I think it's just not. The efficacy of finding that one out is not as important as potentially a placeholder. So I came up with something over the weekend that should federal agencies keep roads open and maintained to help provide access for forest management, timber production, and fire suppression. So for 2 days, once the dozers were approved for the Klondike fire, they've been pushing in a road that serves no purpose for a fire break, just to get access to the historic line to facilitate building a dozer line. That's 2 days. We really, in normal circumstances, we wouldn't have this inversion and the wind, no wind. I just think that that's egregious. And the district director of the U.S. Forest Service made that statement that it is a dereliction. I'm saying this, he didn't say this, but it's basically a dereliction of duty for the agency to not maintain road access in the most fire-prone, challenging region to fight fires in the entire nation. I can't think of one that's more fire-prone and more challenging to fight fires, and yet they don't maintain road access. So I don't know. I know what the answer to that is personally. I think I know what the answer is out there publicly. What I have a challenge is that the gentleman said that he was getting a fair amount of attention and heat from people who maybe not reside in this area, but they didn't like the idea of a dozer being used in the wilderness area. And it's like, that's all well and good when you're 60 miles away and it's not at your back doorstep. But everybody who lives in that proximity would really like to have a dozer between them and the hot stuff. And so I almost feel like with the Rogue Wilderness Wild and Scenic designation, that it may have a far cry chance of happening, but something along these lines is what I think we need to be asking in November, because we don't know that this isn't going to continue till then, and it'll be fresh. And the more that we can provide the ammunition or the pushback to people, it would have been great to tell this guy, well, I've asked my citizens, and they're in favor of doing anything and everything that needs to be done to put out catastrophic wildfire anywhere in Josephine County. And maybe that's the question. Should all tools in the tool chest be applied to, you know, mitigate the fire ahead of time or put it out when it happens? Maybe that's the question.
I know where you're going with that.
Something of that means, you know, that just provides the agency the social license, the political capital to make these decisions when they need to, because we've got a non-binding question that says 90% of the people in Josephine County are in favor of you doing anything you need to do to put the fire out.
Put the fire out. But as you're saying, though, you want to take it a step further, saying, do you want to do everything in your power to prevent the fire, which
yeah,
would be
exactly.
being able to get
right.
to,
right.
you know, i.e., access to fire access via Forest Service roads, something like that.
Yeah, I think we need to do
something. I think everybody agrees, once fire starts, you put everything, you throw everything you have at it, but.
There are people that disagree. We had people from Ashland calling, lighting up his phone, saying, how dare you put a dozer into the wilderness area?
Yeah, well, not their watershed, so you shouldn't worry about it. I can see it in their watershed.
But
not
predecessors of this new guy, they took that into consideration and may have not assigned dozers in the situation where they should have because of that,
yeah.
So I think we shouldn't miss this opportunity, and if we had
especially November is right around the corner,
to do
this is going to be fresh in everybody's mind.
A question, if I had to choose between something that enables you guys to reference next fire season, 90% of the voters in Josephine County said you need to be doing everything and anything. We shouldn't miss
so
that.
We don't get legislators to say, well, I don't think there's an interest in that.
Yeah.
We will already have the facts that say, yes, there is an interest from the board. Okay.
Well, let's think about that.
Put something together.
That's what I would want to. It'll be short and sweet.
It will. Okay, we'll target bringing back something next week.
Next week.
Rough draft.
We release well.
Okay.
Okay. And we're going to get a map just like that every day for the next week or so. We just put that up over there today. It shows the fire itself, the scarlet or whatever you want to call that purple area, or burgundy area. That shows the growth of the fire day by day. So you'll know what that is. The other little blotches out in tan and pink and green and whatnot, those are what they call stage areas, you know, level one, level two, level three. That changes hourly, so I wouldn't put too much credence in the shaded areas, because that's changed at the will of the sheriff and the fire teams. So it was all on one map. Shows all the residences in Pickett Creek. It shows, they keep yakking about Pickett Creek and Chan Creek and Limpy Creek and Dutcher Creek. Well, that shows all of those little roads on there and how close the fire is to them and where the houses are. So pretty good map to have in case somebody says, well, I don't know where this thing's going. And, you know, you can get that online, but that's just like I told Bob. He said, well, it's online. I said, okay, here it is on my phone. Tell me where Limpy Creek is. And, of course, we can't show it. So they're going to give us one of those every day. So just to know.
Something that came, this is great. I told Sarah, but I need to tell as many people as I can. The incident commander at the when the fire starts, that's who names these things. So whoever's in the Forest Service, ODF, BLM, whatever, they get to name it. What they shouldn't do is name it something like a Graves Creek that goes for 29 miles, you know, from bow to stern. That freaks people out when they hear Graves Creek. Wait a second, that's in my back door. There's a fire in Graves Creek?
Yeah.
No, it's the headwaters of Graves Creek, and it's, you know, however long away.
The Taylor Creek fire, it didn't jump Taylor Creek, it started at Taylor Creek and it just...
What I'm recommending is they pick static geographic things like Spencer Butte or whatever, Onion Mountain. You know what Onion Mountain is, it's defined, it's not, it doesn't go forever. So if I don't know why they don't do that, but it freaks people out, you know, all the time when they're hearing these things and they go for miles, it's like, well, it's the other end of it. So just a recommendation, and that's an easy thing to discuss at the beginning of fire season when they have that fire coordinator meeting and all of the agencies are in the room.
Yep.
They just agree to picking static geographic things as opposed to something else.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yep.
Anything else?
Nope.
If not, today is Tuesday, July 24th, 2018. It is 2:35 p.m. Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. Item 6 is executive session. 6A is county purchases of real property, ORS 192.6602E. And 6B is update on collective bargaining, ORS 192.6602D. And we'll now close, the door and approve representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during the executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session. Welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:36.
Oh, we're back in session.
We're back in session at 3:14, and we really didn't have any direction to go on any either of these subjects, correct?
I guess we could say it shouldn't be a surprise that we are moving forward with the negotiations of the contracts, the union contracts. So
yeah. Okay.
We'll see that tomorrow.
All right. And let's see. Coming up at some point in time under legal counsel update, continued additional subjects and matters for commissioners. I had a conversation, or I got an email from Mike Carrello from Food and Friends. And if you want to come up for just a minute, we're going to bring it up later, but we'll get started.
This is a continuation. It's Mike Cavallaro from RV Cog, and they're coordinating the remodel of the Senior Center, Food and Friends Center. And so he came to the board back in May, I believe it was, to give an update on the progress in the remodel of the Food and Friends building. And at that point in time, he informed the board that there was, because of the budget changes, basically because of the delay in having to comply with all the federal requirements of the CDBG, they got a refreshed number of what the construction costs were going to be. The Business Oregon, who's coordinating the CDBG, gave them about $132,000 more money to help offset those costs, but he had to come up with the difference. And so he informed you yesterday in that phone call that difference has been narrowed down to about $92,000, of which then $46,000 would be half. Back in May,
they agreed they could pick up half of it if the county were to do the other half, and we just
half.
Cleared up.
And he said that back in May, but we didn't have a number, so yes. Now he's following up, and at some point in time, he'll follow up with a more formal
request. Well, I think he was expecting a $20,000 grant from somebody that did not come through, and so therefore we were looking at a 60 to 70 at that time, mm-hmm. And now it's 92.
60. Yeah.
Now it's 92, and he said he's exhausted everything they got. The Ford Foundation did come up with 10,000, but it's their final deal is 92,000, so it'd be 45,000, 46,000 basically from them
each.
And 46 from us if
right.
we agreed to do that.
And so what I also want to remind the board is that within that construction contract, they have a contingency of about 80,000. That's what I recall and wrote down. So there's a good chance that, you know, fortune smiles upon us and they don't need to use that contingency, well, that 80,000 contingency.
I think he took 20 out of contingency, down to 60 in contingency.
Oh, okay.
Now. And that,
that's still more than 46.
Is the 40, it's still the 90,000.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the guy, I have to admit, the guy has worked every angle he possibly can. There is no blood left in the turnip. And he now, you know, he wants to wrap this thing up, I think we do,
yeah,
before it gets any more expensive. Because, you know, and then it's got to get done. So I think we need to discuss it, you know, so at some point in time you want to.
My challenge is I don't want to walk into this thing when they're doing the ribbon cutting thing and see marble countertops in the bathroom or something that I would have said,
yeah,
you could have found $46,000 here. You didn't need to go, because we're robbing from Peter to pay Paul. We don't have $46,000 in our budget to
right.
do it, so we're taking it from somewhere. Something else isn't happening because we're doing this. And so if that's the case, then what is it that we're paying for to make sure that we maintain at a particular level with this $46,000? Or what are the three things that you're going to not be able to do because you don't have them?
Would it be helpful if Michael took you on a tour of the facility?
Well, I've been there. I know what it looks like now.
Do they have marble countertops in the bathrooms?
Well, it's not done yet. What I want to know is, what is the plan? You know, what are you spending 1.8, 1. Whatever? What are we buying with this?
Well, nothing. I mean, they're owning the building.
Oh, I know.
So,
but I think so. What the issue? What the proposal was? I believe was that he was thinking towards the end of August to come forward with a more formal request and a final number. So, I mean, we've got 6 weeks before he really planned to come forward with a formal request. So between now and then, I can certainly chat with him and ask him
what
some questions.
What else would we have used the CDBG funds potentially for if we wouldn't have used them?
Could we have?
Could we have?
The only thing that historically in the recent past, last 10 years, has been fixing low-income housing for citizens.
That's
the only CDBG money that we've been using.
Well, we use CDBG on the sewer system and the water system at Cave Junction. That was 9 years ago when I was started.
Oh, okay, okay.
But it's infrastructure stuff too. So could we?
Well, I mean, we
used
it
housing.
For
there's
the
two,
Wolf Creek Library back in the day, but those have been.
There's two pots of CDBG money.
Mm-hmm.
One's doing what they're doing, like the housing thing qualifies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the other
right.
one's like infrastructure.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
AFA stuff. So I guess the alternative is.
Oh, what could
housing
we, yeah, I'm not sure, I guess, what you're...
What I'm getting at is, like, you know, we already gave them 800, so don't say that we didn't do... We gave them that because we could have used that $800,000 for something else. And I don't know what that other... What are the other options?
What other projects could
like
we have been
doing? It's like
Title III,
they give you this money, and they say you can use it on these four things.
Mm-hmm.
We chose to use it over here, so
mm-hmm.
what could we have used it for? If there isn't a, there may not be, then we didn't really give you that. It was just sitting there and
yeah.
you
yeah.
applied for it and got it. But if there was an alternative, then yeah, we did give it to you because we chose to not do any more housing deals. And
I don't think we had any kind of no. offset at this point in time. But yeah.
I'm just thinking that Mr. Cavalera was right down to the nitty-gritty on this thing.
Well, he's not pulling the trigger because he doesn't have $45,000 on a one point. How big is this project? $1.6 million?
1.6, I think. So if that's all he
correct.
Couldn't raise, you know, this is my heart speaking. I'm not.
But it came from us.
Yeah, I know, but my heart is still saying that, you know, I don't want him to squirm any longer. He's probably not getting any sleep at all over this thing, and it's
okay.
$46,000 clears it up for him. And it's not what could I have spent, because I guess I could look at my fleet of cars and my wife could look at me and say, do you know where we could have a cabin at Lake Tahoe, you know, and be living up there on the weekends and flying back and forth in our seaplane if you didn't have all that stuff. But we don't look at it that way. I never look at things like that. I look at what bird in the hand is, and that, you know, it's done.
You don't?
I don't.
every dollar I think I've ever appropriated here was a cost-benefit analysis.
I'm talking about a $46,000 to finish off a project and get it off our plate, get it off of their plate, and I have no problem with the $46,000 myself.
Where do we get it?
That's what Arthur's here for, Arthur.
Yeah.
Continue.
Well.
Gotcha.
Don't worry.
I have been learning.
I already found it, Arthur. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Good.
But no,
it's an important
I see,
question before you start.
I see what you're
writing
saying. No,
where
I
does it come from?
And you're right in making sure that every dime the county spends is spent wisely. But this is, I think, a project that's going on a long time. It's something that's been needed by the community, and it's we're coming to the close on it.
A huge benefit to
out of the
4-H citizens.
Deal. But understand that there's going to be renovations necessary when
mm-hmm.
they move out.
Yeah.
But if we can solve this 10, 11, 12 year challenge for
mm-hmm.
$46,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's money well spent. You don't have to convince me on that.
Okay.
I'm there. But,
yeah.
You guys need to.
We're not, making a decision on that today. I would like to
work for the $46,000.
We are good. He said he was going to bring that to us and bring a request, a formal request, I think, next month. And then we will be asked to make a decision on it. It was just something under
Commissioner Morgan,
additional subjects.
We all were receptive to the idea
sure.
that there was.
Yeah. We're kind of not forewarned, but I think he stated a pretty good case in his letter. So, okay, anything else?
No.
Either one of you, Wally, thank you. Arthur, thank you. It is 3:24, and we are adjourned.